Shall we, would you pray with me? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that we have the opportunity to come here tonight together, that we are able to come and sing such wonderful carols without fear. Father, we ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit now. Would you make your presence known among us? Pray that each one of us would hear your voice tonight. Amen. Oh, sorry. I can't look up that much. Everybody else is taller than me. I want to start by telling you a little story of something that happened the other week. We were in the office in the church here, and Phil, who is one of the many fantastic members of the team here at St. Mike's, came in, and he says, Liz, you're a vicar type person, he says, that can say yes if I want to do something. Yeah, I had such scepticism too. Because it might sound on the surface like a normal, everyday question that someone might ask, but let me translate it for you. When he comes in, he says, Liz, you're a vicar type person who might say yes. What he means is, Liz, I've got this idea and I want to do something and I can't think of anyone else who might be silly enough to say yes to it. So I'm asking you. In fairness to the guy, he was right. I said yes. But what happened in saying yes, the words I actually said were this. I said, Phil, yes, you can do that, but I need you to write a risk assessment. I know, I've changed, because I was fairly shocked and horrified at my own response, if I'm honest. But it did get me thinking, what if God had to write a risk assessment before he sent Jesus to earth? Because it occurs to me that if God had to have written a risk assessment before he sent Jesus to earth, no one in their right mind, not even me, would have said, yes, this is a good idea. No one. I mean, just for example, the shepherds, right? The shepherds are there, they're up on their hill, they're watching their flocks. They may or may not have been washing socks, but they are there. You like that, you see what I did there? Yeah. They're watching, and then the heavens open, and bam, out comes a whole bunch of angels singing praises to God, telling of a newborn king. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is where it all goes wrong. Because we've sung the hit, I forget which one it is, but we've sung the carol tonight. You know what happens when angels show up. An angel of the Lord appeared and glory shone around. Well, for my money, glory's probably quite bright. Protective eyewear probably should have been issued to the shepherds first. Because we're not just talking as well. We're not just talking one angel with a little bit of glory hanging around. We're told there's a host of angels. Well, that's like millions of angels all turning up in the sky. That is a whole lot of shine. And you should have eyewear for that. But it's not just, this is serious business, people. This is not just the eyewear thing. Think about the noise. There probably should have been some noise-cancelling headphones issued as well, because we're told that all of these millions of angels have turned up and they're singing praises to God about this newborn king. That is loud. I'm sure there's probably rules against this thing. Phil will tell you later. But before we even got to any of that point, where it all went wrong, God should have made sure that there was a defib machine on hand, should any of the shepherds have gone into a cardiac arrest. Because they're on the hillside, the angels have shown up, that's enough to give anybody a heart attack. And we're not just talking, you know, angels. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, angels, I'm not scared of angels. We've all seen them, big, fluffy, white wings and halos. We've all seen the nativity plays this week, but no. We're told it was a host of angels. And basically, another word for host is army. So imagine the scene, the heavens open and the biggest, baddest, it's like the SAS of angels, all right? The SAS of angels appear in the sky. That terrifies you. And then it gets worse because they say, don't be afraid. But it gets, before any of all this stuff, if God wanted to tell the world that a new saviour had been born, his first mistake was choosing shepherds in the first place. Because shepherds live out on a hillside, miles away from anywhere. They're a little bit smelly, and nobody really takes any notice of them. They're just ordinary, everyday people. I mean, if you want to get a message out there, you need famous people, you need influencers, you need people that other people are going to take notice of. You don't choose shepherds. And yet I think perhaps God chose shepherds for the very reason that they were ordinary, everyday people like you and me, maybe less smelly. God sending the angels to the shepherds, and the shepherds were the first people that heard about the birth of Jesus. And in that, God is saying to us, praise God because a son has been born. And he's for people like you and me, for ordinary, everyday people. That is who Jesus was born for. That is why Jesus came. But thankfully, God didn't put all his truck in the shepherds. The shepherds were not the only people to hear about the birth of the new baby. There were some wise men. Now, we've got to be all right with wise men, haven't we? Because it's in the title. You'd think. No, not so much. Because it is the wise men, after all, who decide on their journey to see Jesus to turn up at Herod's house. Yes, nobody thought to tell the wise men the importance of stranger danger or of being GDPR compliant. Because here we are, the wise men turn up on Herod's doorstep and they tell him who they are, where they're going, what they're about to do. That's right, the wise men give over all Jesus' personal details to a serial killer. Oh yes. But even if we leave them to one side 1 minute, I mean, far be it from me to tell God how to do his job, but if you're going to send your one and only son to earth, perhaps it might be a good idea to make sure first that there isn't some other king just casually waiting around plotting to kill him. Who knew? But let's not be too harsh on the wise men. Because they did, after all, come bearing gifts. Gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. Yeah, they did their homework about age-appropriate gifts, didn't they? But my mother always taught me that it wasn't about the gift. It was the thought that counts. And the wise men, to be fair, thought about their gifts. They bought gold. They bought Jesus gold because they recognized that he was a king. They recognized that this baby who was before them was going to be the king of the Jews and ultimately the king of the whole world. They brought with them frankincense. And I don't know about you, I have smelt frankincense. It doesn't smell that nice. But they bring him frankincense because they recognized his deity. They recognized that there in front of their very eyes was God in human form. That this baby was God himself come to earth. And then they brought him myrrh. Myrrh is embalming oil. Now, my husband Kai has bought me some terrible gifts over the years. He's not allowed to buy me gifts anymore. Not. He has never bought me something as bad as moo. But the wise men brought Jesus moo because it symbolized something of the death that he was going to die. They recognized that this king, this God in human form before them, was later going to die the most special of all deaths. And we'll get to that in just a minute, but I just finally want to take just one last second to have a look at the birth itself. We've talked about the people who found out about Jesus' birth, but what about the birth itself? Now, ladies, I don't know how many of you have had children, but if you have, maybe you were like me. And when I was planning for the birth of my first child, the thought of giving birth in a drafty stable with animals and, well, more infection risks like sepsis than you can shake a stick at was not high on my list of priorities or things to do. And yet this is where we find Jesus. I mean, it is a miracle in itself that Mary and Jesus survived that first night. It is a miracle that Jesus was still alive. And yet he was. And yet, despite all the risks and all the things that could have gone wrong, despite all the imperfections that were there on that first Christmas night, there, in the middle of it all, was the perfectness of Jesus. Jesus, in the middle of all the imperfectness, there is the one perfect sign of love and of hope to each and every one of us. And yet, despite all the risks and all the things that could have gone wrong and did go wrong, and despite all the imperfections of that first Christmas night, God didn't write a risk assessment. God knew all the risks involved. And he chose to send Jesus anyway. He chose to send Jesus for you and for me. And that Jesus, who was that baby, he grew up and he became a man and he lived a life that was far from perfect in the sense that his life was full of risks. He travelled around, not always knowing where he was going to sleep that night. It was full of people who hated him. It was full of people who would ask their awkward questions to try and find reasons to arrest him. It was full of people who tried to have him killed. And yet in amongst all that risk and all that imperfection, Jesus lived the perfect life, showing us miracles and signs of the wonders of the kingdom of heaven, teaching us how to live. And eventually the risks won out. Jesus was arrested and he was crucified. And yet, just as the wise men had shown with the gifts that they had bought, this just wasn't any other kind of death. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and later again, he ascended into heaven to be with God. And in doing that, he paid the price in full for everything that you and I have ever done or will ever do that is wrong. Jesus lived his life surrounded by risks. And sometimes choosing Jesus can feel like a bit of a risk. The risk of not knowing what other people might say or do. the risk of taking that leap of faith into the unknown. That risk of letting go and of letting God take over all those parts of our life. And here's the thing. If you choose Jesus, I can't promise you a risk-free life. I wish I could, but I can't. But if you choose Jesus, I can promise you, and I can promise you because it's what the Bible teaches us. I can promise you life in all its fullness. I can promise you a life that is filled with the hope of something that is better. A life that is filled with love, of knowing what it's like to be truly loved and accepted by God. And my prayer for all of us today is simply this, that we would each truly feel God's presence here with us tonight. Whether it be for the first time or for the 101st time, I pray that we would choose him today, because that is what Christmas is all about. It's why we gather. The birth of the baby that was God in human form. The birth of the one that is the saviour of the whole world. Because as we just heard read in our last reading, he is the light who has come into this world. And the darkness will never, ever overcome him. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. We come to our final carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. And during this carol, there will be a collection towards the work of the church here in Aberystwyth.